How about now? Can you hear me?
Yes, thank you. Well, thank you for taking the time to join us. Congratulations. We are now joined by our race winner, Justin Allgaier, driver of the number 7 Filter Time Chevrolet for Junior Motorsports, and our 2-time race winner for the season. Justin, can you talk us through your run out there and how it feels to get that second victory heading into the playoffs?
It feels great. You know, we've had fast Camaros all year long, and everybody at Junior Motorsports has worked their butts off and put us in position many times. And, you know, the definition of luck is when opportunity meets preparation. And when we've been prepared, the opportunity hasn't come. And when we've had the opportunity, we just haven't been prepared. And the team today did a fantastic job of executing just from beginning to end. You know, we knew we were a little behind the eight ball when the green flag dropped, just starting as far back as we were. And that first cycle on tires was really rough on us. We lost some spots, got a little bit of damage, unfortunately, and just really felt like we were not where we wanted to be at. And the guys rallied. We had unbelievable pit stops tonight. We made great adjustments and, you know, just ultimately put ourselves in good position at the end. And you know, riding along, I come on the radio a couple of times and I kept asking Eddie, my spotter, you know, what we needed to do there. Do we need to push? Do we need to not push? How hard could we go? And he's like, man, I don't know. You know, I don't know. You're going to have to feel that. And I kind of knew where I was at in relation to the other cars, and let the 11 go by and just rode. And it's so hard to do that at a place like this where you're watching the guy go out in front of you. But to be able to run him back down and get him in traffic and then to kind of drive away a little bit was really, really cool. You know, I know Blake Cook. I just FaceTimed Blake Cook here just a minute ago in victory lane, and to get filter time in victory lane for him and Dale, just what that means to them. You know, ironically beating the 11 car that he drove all the way up until, you know, he got out of the sport was really, really cool for me. Blake and I have been best friends for a long time now, and just really cool to be able to get him in victory lane and all of our partners. You know, tomorrow night we have Brandt Professional Agriculture on the car, and I know for them it's been big. We'd love to get them back in victory lane at some point this year. And we just hitting our stride at the right part of the season, and we need to keep doing what we're doing and keep executing, and we'll have a great shot at a lot more of these throughout the end of the year.
Awesome. Well, we are going to take some questions here from the media for you. Let's kick things off here with Bob Pockers. Go ahead, Bob.
Yeah, Justin, you had a run at Phoenix where you kind of left a set of tires there, I want to say. And I'm curious, when you came into Richmond, are you like thinking, okay, we were great in Phoenix? Or I'm curious if, because there were so many races or so much time between Phoenix and the return, that like you really didn't even want to think about Phoenix?
No, I mean, I think, you know, Phoenix was definitely the one that got away, no questions asked, in 2020. We had the dominant car, and you know, we ultimately didn't have anything to show for it when it was all said and done. So, you know, we've thought about that race pretty nonstop throughout the course of the season, right? I mean, I think you have to. Tonight, I think it was interesting because I think there was a lot of us on the fence of what to do on that competition caution, especially with the caution at lap 20 or whatever it ended up being. And then, you know, we actually got damage on one of the restarts and tore the right front fender up a little bit. And so I was really nervous that actually was going to hurt our chances tonight. And, you know, the guys just rallied behind it. We made a great, great call to do that. It got us track position and put us in a lot better position to have something at the end. You know, if there would have been a caution at the end of the race, I think it would have been different, you know, but I felt like just what I had seen already early in the race, a lot of guys were really, they were pushing hard, but you could tell that they were saving something for tomorrow. And so I knew that we were definitely in, you know, the opportunity for a long run. And I thought Jason called a perfect race, and we kept the track position, and, you know, ultimately we're able to come out looking like we made the right choices.
Thank you.
Yeah. Thanks, Bob.
All right, Justin, I'm actually going to read you a question here. It's from David Lawrence. I heard the TV announcers as well as Justin Haley say they thought he might have made that you may have made your move to the front too early. Were you or the team worried about the timing? And if so, what was the rationale for the move?
Yeah, it was interesting because I just saw Justin walking out of the media center here, and he said the same thing to me. And it's funny because we actually went based on when he started pushing. He picked the lap time up, and his brake rotors were glowing like crazy. And I could watch the back of his car wiggling around a lot. And you know, I knew he was pushing really hard. And the 54 behind us, we were kind of monitoring his lap times as well. And when he started picking the pace up, we knew we needed to try and, you know, put ourselves in good position. I didn't want the 11 to get too far out front. I mean, obviously we let him go. So we knew we needed to keep riding at that point, but we didn't want him to get too far out there and not be able to reel him back in. And, you know, ultimately when he started pushing and picking the speed up, that's when we went. And, you know, I thought we went at the perfect time. I still thought it was a little early when I first started going. And then as the run went on, the balance really didn't change a whole lot. And traffic actually worked to my advantage today. You know, being able to get by cars, our balance was really good in the areas that I felt like we needed to be able to make the proper passes and really pass the lap cars where we needed to. And I think that was the difference maker for us today.
All right. And we're going to take our next question from Claire Lyne. Go ahead, Claire.
Just a question for the pre-race on Saturday. How do you look at racking them up and starting it all over? What do you expect now that you've been on the track in the Xfinity race number 2 at Richmond?
It's a different animal, Claire. You know, tomorrow, I mean, obviously today it was super hot here. You know, the sun was definitely beating down when it wasn't, you know, when it wasn't sprinkling or overcast. I mean, we went through, you know, the four seasons at some point during the course of the day. But tonight it turned out to be beautiful. The weather couldn't have been better. And, you know, we definitely had the right setup for the race tonight. And I think that's going to be the difference maker tomorrow. We're going to need to make sure that we make some adjustments based on what we felt tonight to be good tomorrow. And in the hot and in the heat, I think there were some things that our car did good enough tonight that will definitely benefit us when the sun comes out and the track's a lot hotter and slicker. But I also know that there's 30 some other drivers that are back right now debriefing with their crew chiefs and engineers and they're making the same discussions on what they're going to need to be better. So, you know, I think we'll obviously have a lot better starting position tomorrow than what we did today. And we'll be able to kind of attack the beginning of the race a little bit differently than we were able to today. But, you know, I think we got to know what we did really well tonight and exploit that tomorrow.
Good luck in Richmond too. Congratulations.
Thank you.
All right. We'll take our next one from Dustin Long. Go ahead.
Thank you, Justin. I want to ask you, I know you talked about Phoenix earlier. Obviously this is the same tire that'll be used at Phoenix. But I'm curious if tomorrow will be more of a better correlation to Phoenix, because I think Phoenix is going to be more of an afternoon race. So not to take anything away from your win tonight and what you did tonight, but is tomorrow a bigger race in terms of looking at comparing this to Phoenix, or can you get something out of tonight and tomorrow?
Yeah, I think as a whole, we get something out of tonight and tomorrow. The only advantage that I I come into this race with is that I feel like I'm a way better racer at Phoenix than I am at Richmond. I have a lot of things that I feel like I need to learn still when I come here that I'm able to do at Phoenix and feel more comfortable, right? I just, no matter what we do, I just feel more comfortable at Phoenix. Even the different tires that we've had here in the last couple of years, I feel like this is the best I've felt. And there's probably some correlation to the fact that we run good on this tire already. So, you know, it definitely helps in that regard. But, you know, I think the track sizes and the way you attack these two racetracks is so totally different that, you know, you're not learning probably as much as you'd like to learn for Phoenix later on in the season. But to play off of that as well, you know, I love the fact that the finale is at Phoenix. I think we got a great shot at going there and getting the win. But the most important piece of all of this is those bonus points that we earned tonight. That's going to get us 5 points closer to being able to make those final four at Phoenix. And you know, it'd be a travesty to go to Phoenix and win the race and not be in the final four and have to settle with, you know, fifth place in points or whatever it ended up being. So, you know, we got our work cut out for us. These bonus points are just trying to make it easier and easier as we go on throughout the course of the season.
And you mentioned that obviously there's a cluster, you guys kind of close together in bonus points going into tonight. How much of a concern was that going into this weekend, that where you were, obviously Briscoe and Cendrick are way ahead, but there's like what, four of you guys all clustered together?
Yeah. I mean, I don't know that we're going to pull leap years ahead of them. I mean, obviously we could win tomorrow and next week and still not be far enough ahead that I would feel comfortable going into the first round of the playoffs. But, you know, I just go back to, we have a great program. The guys have done fantastic all year. We've had speed at every racetrack. We've led a ton of laps. And yeah, we got two wins, but that doesn't show the year that we've had. And that's the most disappointing part. And I think that's what has me excited for, you know, the playoffs is if things go the way that we need them to go, we got a great shot at going for a championship in Phoenix. And obviously I feel like we have a good car to do that with.
Thank you.
All right. We're going to take our next question from Chris Knight. Go ahead, Chris.
Hey, Justin, congratulations on the win.
Thank you. By the way, you're making me hungry for some cookies, just so you know.
Rock on. Hey, Justin, it's supposed to be cooler tomorrow. Is that going to make a difference?
Oh, if anything, it'll probably help because I think that, you know, today was super hot. And, you know, when the sun was out, it was pretty the track temp, I would say, was pretty warm today. This racetrack is particularly dark as well, which generates a lot of heat also. So, you know, I think that, you know, it's going to be interesting. One of the biggest things that I think for tomorrow that's so unique compared to tonight is that we're one set of tires shorter tomorrow than what we were today. And in looking at it, we all were scratching our heads going, man, well, you'd think in the middle of the day when the track's a lot hotter and you're a lot greasier and you're putting more pressure on those tires, you'd want that extra set tomorrow, not tonight when it's nice and cool and they'll last a little bit longer. So, you know, I think we're going to have our work cut out for us regardless of whether it's cooler or not, but I definitely think it will help the longevity. I think it'll help some guys manage the race a little bit better, you know, and ultimately we saw the track move around some today. The second lane started to open up a little bit, especially at the end of the race. So in the middle of the day, I think, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if the middle or outside lane even starts to come in a little bit. And then by the end of the cup race, I really believe that the, at least the third groove will be semi-usable, maybe even all the way out by the fence. I don't know, you know, it just depends on what they end up doing. But I definitely was surprised at how well the track moved tonight and how much of a benefit that was as we got into lap traffic.
Thanks, Justin. Appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks, Chris.
All right, we're going to take our next question from Stephen Toronto. Go ahead, Stephen.
Justin, you mentioned Blake Koch both on the front stretch interview and when you joined us just now. And when I think about Blake's career, I don't think he ever really got the opportunity to contend for a win in this series, even though he was in it so long. What was the conversation between you two like, and did he say anything in particular about the significance of him winning a race as a sponsor for the first time?
Well, first of all, you know, like I said, Blake and I have been friends for many, many years, and we kind of came into the sport at a similar time, and we've had a lot of conversations, good, bad, or indifferent, about, you know, both of our careers, things that have or haven't happened, you know, just opportunities that, quite frankly, Blake is an incredibly talented race car driver. And I hate it that he's not in the series with us right now racing against us, because I feel like he would be somebody that in the right opportunity would be right there battling with us. But, you know, the thing that I loved about Blake was the fact that, you know, when it was all said and done and he knew that he was out of the sport, instead of crying about it, instead of, you know, kind of pandering around and finding, you know, something that he wouldn't have enjoyed, he left the sport. He went to work. He went to hard work. And you know, it's so funny because we had so many conversations about filter time before it was ever even like literally as you know, he's coming up with ideas, and, you know, we're talking about different ideas and we're coming up with names and just having those conversations and logos. I mean, just, there's so many things that I can go back to and just smile about now, because, you know, it's come to where it is today. And obviously to have Dale Jr. as a part owner now and to see it grow to the magnitude that it's been growing, is really special for me. You know, it's special because it's seeing somebody succeed when the wind was kicked out of their sails, right? And he's not complained about it. He's gone to work and he's succeeded in a way that most racers will never ever have the opportunity to understand. So I'm proud of him. I'm proud of his family. You know, the sacrifices that they've made to be able to do this, and to ultimately He is bummed though. I will. So the first thing he told me is we didn't get a fire suit with COVID and with everything that was going on. There was no way to really get a fire suit. And he's like, man, I just don't know, you know, for it was, we were kind of trying to hit a moving target. This originally wasn't going to be the race that they were going to be on the car. And he's like, man, I just don't know if something doesn't work out and we're not able to do it. You know, that's a big investment that, you know, for me, I don't know if I can afford the extra. And I'm like, listen, man, don't do a fire suit. If it doesn't make this deal worth it, like, don't do it, you know? And the first thing he said when I FaceTimed earlier, he's like, man, I'm so bummed I didn't buy a fire suit. Like, that's the biggest thing that I'm so bummed about. And, you know, just to see the smile on their faces tonight, was really special. It really was.
Thanks, Justin.
All right. And we're going to take our final question for Justin from Lee Spencer. Go ahead, Lee.
Thank you. Congratulations, Justin.
Thankfully.
You, looking back at the season, you've wrecked in 25% of the races. I mean, ended up on the sidelines. You've won two of the last five. You feel like that monkey's finally off your back and you can enter the playoffs, you know, kind of in fighting mode and not just constantly having to defend yourself from, you know, crazy stuff happening to the car.
Yeah, I don't know what the stat is of how many of those wrecks have just been being in the right place at the wrong time. But I would say probably 99.9% of those 25% have been that way. And it's hard when you walk into the shop on Monday morning and we get ready to do our debriefs. And I look at all of our guys that work in our shop in the eyes and I tell them I'm sorry, right? But that doesn't fix the wrecked race car. They're still putting hours and time into it. And no different than the guys that work on the car as we travel. And it's not for lack of effort. It's not for lack of speed. That's when you know it's hard, right? When you literally are doing everything right and it just doesn't work out for you. But that's the testament to these guys, the never give up attitude, the effort and time that they put into it. And really just, I actually had a fan. So some really good friends of ours, the Bledsaws, they've been friends of ours for a number of years now. Their little boy, Logan, was, I'm not even sure how old he was whenever I first met him. He had to be single digits, right? So under 10. And obviously now, you know, he's a grown man now. So that tells you how long ago this has all kind of gone down. And they bought me a monkey years and years and years ago. They bought me a monkey and then they ripped it off my back at one of the racetracks when we were dirt track racing in the Midwest. And a couple of weeks ago, I got a box in the mail from him and it was another monkey. And they said, all right, here's the deal. The monkey is gone, right? We're gonna reenact this 20 years later and it's gonna work out. And it has, you know. I'm a firm believer that you cannot give up trying, no matter what you do, no matter how disappointed you are, no matter what the circumstances are. For me, it's always been about not giving up trying and keep pushing. I've had many days where I've been ready to pull the plug. But that's not me, right? Like, that's just not who I am. That's not what I'm going to do. I'm going to keep digging and dig down deep. And this team has done that as well. And tonight is the reason why, right? You put yourself in these positions over and over again. At some point, odds are that it's going to work out for you. And tonight, luck was in our favor.
Well, and I mean, it's not just you. I mean, Ashley has had to get really defensive on Twitter. I mean, it affects you. It affects the team. And when it's not your fault, it has to be that much worse.
Yeah. I love my wife to death. She is definitely an amazing person. And when I see people attack her on Twitter, to be honest with you, it's frustrating. It's disappointing, right? If I chose to be the race car driver in the family, she chose to love me and I guess she chose to deal with whatever crap comes along with it. But she didn't, you know, she didn't start out at 5 years old wanting that. And you know, she's made a lot of sacrifices and a lot of changes in her life that have been very selfless, right? And I think that when I see people that attack her on Twitter or Facebook or wherever, it just makes you mad. You know, for me, it literally makes my blood boil. And it's hard not to let it get to you, right? At the end of the day, it's hard not to. But one of the things that I love is that she's a lot stronger than I am. I can promise you that. And she doesn't mind firing back. I probably don't fire back as often as she does. But you know, I think that we've learned a lot of ways, especially, I would say, especially in the last year and a half, we've learned a lot of ways to deal with it internally amongst our family and change who we are. And I think that's been a big help.
Appreciate your time. Good luck tomorrow night, man.
Thanks, Lee. Appreciate it.
All right, Justin. Well, thank you so much for taking the time to join us. Congratulations on the win, and we hope to see you back here again tomorrow.
Sounds good. Thank you, guys. Appreciate it. Thank you. I hope so, too.